You know, they say, if I understood right, that the viruses do not do very well in hot, dry places. So according to yesterday, we might not have as much trouble, right? 80 degrees yesterday? We're back in the Beatitudes for just a couple more weeks, and then we'll start looking at some things leading up to the Resurrection Sunday. And today we're in, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you remember, we've been talking about the Beatitudes are really attitudes that people who are committed to Christ are supposed to have. And, you know, we do have a choice of what our attitude, how we respond, and that's exactly what this is about, our attitudes, and it's kind of a gauge for us. One lady had called... dialed up the liquor store to order some vodka to be sent to her house, and she didn't realize that she had dialed the wrong number, and she ended up dialing her preacher's number instead of the liquor store. So when he said hello, she just said, "I need this many cases of vodka sent to my house," and he recognized her voice. He said, "You know, this is something, your pastor." And so she hesitated for just a moment, but then very, very rudely answered, "Well, what are you doing at the liquor store?" It's his problem. It ain't her problem. Attitude has a lot to do with it. And that's exactly the way the Beatitudes are. It is a display that our attitude should be if we are followers of Christ. And so we're looking at this one today. Blessed are the peacemakers, and that is, it's not easy to be a peacemaker. You know that? And we're going to see why. There's three main problems that cause it, and then if we pay attention, it can be fixed. But I'll just go ahead and say, you're not going to always get along with everybody. You know, it's just not one of those things that happens. In a fallen world that we live in, and that's what we're going to look at quickly. Do we need peacemakers? Yes, we do need. And it's a process that we need to try to understand. Here's the verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, and it's the same concept. It says in order to receive mercy, you have to show mercy. But it never means, okay, you can be a pagan, but as long as you show mercy, then God's going to show mercy to you. That's not what that means. And it doesn't mean just because you try to live peaceably that you're automatically a child of God. It actually means the character of God is a better translation, that the peacemakers show God's character. That's what they have in them. That's exactly how it's translated. Here's the problem. There is a war going on. Boy, there's one going on right now, isn't there? Wow. You know, that's exactly what this is. In James chapter 4, really gets to the heart of it, and Jesus talks about it. But let's look at these four verses quickly from James to kind of set it up for us. James says, from where come wars and fighting? Why are you always fighting with somebody? You know, why are you always with odds with somebody? That's what he's asking. You know, in the movie Seabiscuit, one of the jockeys, at some point in time later, he was riding for this other guy, and every time he kind of was offended, man, he just blew up. And finally, the horse owner asked him, he said, "Why are you so mad?" You know, it was everything that went on, he just kind of blew up, and he said, "Why are you so angry?" And he dealt with an issue that had happened early in his life that helped him realize it. And that's what he's asking. He says, "Why are you always fussing and fighting? Well, where's the problem? They come not hence, even of your lust that war in your members." You know what he's going to explain? He said, they come from inside of us. He said, the only reason we're fighting with everybody else is it's going to unfold. It comes from an inside of us. You lust and have not, and you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it in on your lust. You adulterers and adulterers, know not that the friendship, this is the third part we're going to look at, the friendship of the world is enmity, is war, you can translate it, with God. Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. He said, why is it we, you know, if you look at history, even in the United States, I don't know if you can find a very large gap in the sequences where there was not a war going on. There's a couple little spots, and someone said it was because it was the years of the Depression. There wasn't enough money to fight. That's why nobody was fighting. But if you look all over the world, and even right now, is there anywhere on this planet that someone's not fighting? No. There's always, and that's the question, why is that? Why is it? Why is that going on? People are at war with one another in Publix last night over antibacterial soap. In Hiram, Georgia, a few days ago, over what? They were hitting each other with wine bottles. What was it over, Meredith? I forgot. Over a case of water. Why are you fighting? Is it where we are? Oh, it is. Every now and then, we'll have a truce. You know what they claim about that, right? The years that are not fighting, it's when everybody's paused to reload. Well, they're going to start again. They just had a little pause to get all their shells together. But there is no peace, religious, economic, racial, social, political, family. Really, you know, everybody's in turmoil with someone else. You know, it is crazy how easy it is people get angry with someone else. All of us. We are at war with ourselves, number two. What do you mean? We are at war with ourselves because there is no peace. And that is the reason they cannot be at peace with anyone else. You know, if there's always something going on in my life, when someone crosses me, then I'm going to get into it with them. John MacArthur was right. Hurting people hurt people. People that have something going on in their life and there is no peace at all in their life, don't be surprised if they lash out at you. He said, why are you always fighting? We're fighting one another because we're fighting inside of us. There's a problem inside of us. Many folks are just a fight looking for a place to happen. Or an argument just looking for a person to argue with. That is it. I mean, in just the right circumstances, boy, here they go. And you say, what in the world did I do to cause that? You didn't cause that. You just were the one little trigger. It was already boiling. That's the way that works. This occurs because they are in turmoil themselves. In their own person. Something's going on where there is no peace whatsoever. So the moment something happens, it blows up in relation to someone else. You know, the basic problem that we have while there's wars, it started with the devil and the fallen angels, and then with fallen mankind is we do not want to submit to the authority of God. So we're always have a battle going on because we want to be in control, right? Why do we even have wars? Because this nation wants it this way and this nation wants it that way. You know, why do we war with our neighbors? Because he put something over on my property. Isn't that right? It's always something against me. Always one side against another side. And that's exactly what it is. There's a turmoil. Finish these sentences for me. I'm ready to throw in. I'm at the end of my... Okay, I didn't hear all of that rope. I heard one of it. What was the other one? Don't get ahead of me. That one's coming, all right? Just do the one that it matches. It doesn't match that one, all right? I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm at the end of my rope. What does that sound like? People who are in turmoil. I don't know if I'm going to make it. There's no peace when you hear those things going on. I'm just a bundle of... Right. You got that one right. I'm going to start putting one on the page if y'all don't quit jumping ahead. This ain't a speed test, you know. My life is falling apart. I'm at my wits. Now you got it, all right? What are all those are words that you hear people constantly saying? What does that mean? There is no peace in their life when you hear that. There is none. And James says the war on the outside is because there is no peace on the inside. He's right. He is exactly right. That's exactly what's going on. The New Testament book of James says that the war on the outside is a result from the war on the inside. And here is the problem. We are at war with God. That's always the issue. When I know what God wants me to do, and I say, I don't want to do what God wants me to do, we're at odds. There's no peace. There's no peace because I want to do what I want to do, and God wants me to do what he wants me to do. So that's exactly what it is. That's what he said in verse 4. Friends with the world is enmity with God. When we submit to the world's guidelines, we are at war with God. And that's the way we're born. That's our natural inclination, and we have to fight that. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. Isaiah chapter 57. When we're not right with God, there's no way we can be right with anybody else. Remember the Ten Commandments? How are they listed? What's the first part? The first part is vertical. How are we supposed to be in the right relationship with God? And once you get that, then they go to horizontal. Once I'm right with God and understand that, then I'll be able to treat my fellow human being the way I should. And that's exactly what it is. Because we do not have a peace settlement with God, we don't have any peace, and we can't be at peace with anybody else around us. That's exactly what he's saying. Until we're right with God in this world, we'll never be a peacemaker. We'll be a troublemaker. You know, I remember talking with one of the dads of one of the kids Meredith plays ball with, and we got to talking about it one day, and a couple of them are a little bit spiritual. Some of them are just pagan, but a couple of them are a little bit spiritual, so we're just looking at the opportunity and trying to share and do what we can. And he got to talking about how bad his home life was, and he coached football later on in his life from just high school stuff. And he said, there was this boy on my high school team, and man, I hated him. But he said, later on in life, I understood he was living out the same stuff at home I was living out. And once I understood that, I understood where he was coming from. And he said, we got to be good friends. Why? Because when there's no peace in our life, it's hard to be at peace with anybody else. When there's always something in turmoil. And it all starts with, when we are not right with God, you're in trouble, and I'm in trouble. That's exactly what the point is. And we'll never be a peacemaker, but only cause trouble. Don't you hate troublemakers? Don't you? Some people are just natural troublemakers, and they say they're born again, but I don't know if they are or not. What is peace? Peace is not appeasement. Oh, we're just going to love everybody. You know, we're not going to talk about any sin that they have, and we're not going to talk about their life. We're just going to love everybody. Jesus didn't do that. Peace is not appeasement. You know what appeasement is? You know what Churchill said appeasement is? The man who feeds the crocodile hoping he'll eat him last. Appeasement doesn't get you anywhere. That's not what peace is. It never brings peace. And look at this line. The liberals hate this line. We are not honor-bound to get along with everybody. You're never going to get along with everybody. Ever. Even with our so-called brothers and sisters in Christ. It's just not one of those things. You're not going to get along with everybody. There's something disconcerting and wrong with a person who can get along with everybody. They're a chameleon. You know what that is, right? He acts like this one when he's over here, and he acts like this one when he's over here. So there is no staunch place that he sets. He just goes wherever he needs to go to get along with everybody. R.G. Lee, the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church a long, long time ago, he said whenever he dies, he hopes that whoever stood up there and preached his funeral, which happened to be Adrian Rogers, he says if whenever he stands up to preach my funeral, if he gets up there and says, blessed was R.G. Lee, he didn't have an enemy. He said, I hope God had given me the ability to kick the lid off that coffin and stand up and say, that's a lie. A man is known by the enemies he makes. Not intentionally. But look what Jesus says about that. The Bible says, if it is possible, live peaceably as much as you can. What does that mean? It's impossible. You're not going to get along with everybody, and it's not necessarily going to be your fault. So it's something you shoot for, but you just can't say, well, you know what? I'm going to compromise everything I have just so I can get along with everybody. Jesus didn't do that. That's not what peace is. Peace is not appeasement, which means that it's unfortunately not always possible. Wow, some people are just, What was the word I created this morning? I created a word for this morning, sitting up here. Ungetalongable. Some people are ungetalongable. You can't get along with them. No one can get along with them. You know, it's kind of funny. If you know any of these people and you follow them over the years, you'll see no one gets along with them. If you had it out with them and you kind of separated or whatever, and you just said, well, you know, I did all I could. If you ever have any ability to track that, you'll see they had the same problem everywhere they went. And it wasn't the other people's problem. It was that person's problem. Why? Because they're un-get-alongable. You know, we shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. If Jesus Christ was so, and that's what they say, oh, Jesus loved everybody, and we want to love everybody, and he accepted everybody. If that was the case, if he was so diplomatic and so easy to get along with, how did he get himself crucified? Huh? Somebody didn't like, he didn't get along with everybody. Man, they didn't like him. They set out to kill him. If God's own son did not get along with everyone, and everyone did not get along with Jesus, peace is not appeasement. And peace is not just truce making. Well, you know what? I'm going to just compromise this. If you can say, you know, I'll give in when it doesn't affect what I really believe. You know, sometimes we fuss over stuff that doesn't really matter. You don't need to fuss over the color of the floor or something like that. You can compromise on that. That's not an A issue. But you don't compromise on A issues just to get somebody to get along with. You just say, no hard feelings, but we're never going to agree on this. That's what Adrian Rogers said in 1988 when the Southern Baptist Convention was trying to make a swing back when so much liberalism had overtaken our seminaries and a lot of the convention, and the change was starting to take place. And some of the liberals came to Adrian Rogers, who was the president at that time, and said, if you don't compromise on this, we'll never get together. He said, we'll never get together. And now we're turning our back on that. Our convention it's only taken 30 years. And it's going right back. Why? Because everybody compromises. Everybody's like the news. Oh, we just can't say that. We can't say that sin, but the Bible says that sin. So why come we can't say that sin? Oh, well, that's not what Jesus did. That's exactly what Jesus did. You know, Jesus didn't get along with everybody. And I'm not trying to say we're supposed to try not to get along with everybody. It is just you can do everything you can, and there's some people you just can't get along with. That's just it. Unfortunately, here's what peace is. It's the right relationship with God the Father through Jesus. With God that leads to a when I am at peace with God, I can be at peace with myself. That's it. That's the only way to get it. And then when I'm at peace with myself, I have a good chance at getting along with everybody else out there. A good chance, like I said, I can't get along with everybody because some of them are un-get-alongable. All right? You know, I understand when you get a certain place in education, you can create your own words, ain't that right? So why are you, some of you laughing at me, you can do that, right? That's what Dr. Criswell said. The reason he got a PhD was he said, I could preach like a holy roller and it would be all right. You know, nobody could question that. But anyway, don't take that and print that, all right? It's the right relationship with God that helps me be at peace with myself. And it is amazing how many people have no peace whatsoever, but they say they're committed to Jesus. Wow. How does that happen? It is a sense of well-being, literally. Peace is a result and the fruit of righteousness. When I understand what Jesus did for me. You know, there was a quote by A.W. Tozer on someone this morning that says, you know, one of the greatest points in our life is when we understand that God's grace allowed Jesus to die to take our place. That's when you have peace. When you understand that you are right with the God of the universe because Jesus did something for you. That's peace. You know, and you know what that means? That means Philippians chapter 4, what does it say? It says, he will give us a peace that passes all understanding. You know what that means? It means that we have a peace that no one can explain. Can I be honest with you? You know, I've lost a lot of family members close to us, a daughter. So when these things come up like right now, this virus, it don't really excite me. Because if God can take care of Madison, boy, he can take care of me and this stuff. Am I going to be smart? Yes, I am. I'm going to do everything I can. But I'm not going to be a slave to fear because God is still sovereign. That's what peace is. You do what you can, and you don't just go crazy. Why? Because God is still sovereign. And then that gives us an opportunity when the rest of the world is running around like ants, and they look at you and say, how do you stay so calm? I'm calm because God's the sovereign, he's the sovereign maker of the universe. And then you might have a chance to share with them. That's exactly what it is. Look at that verse. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness and peace. A right standing with God gives us peace. You know, well, I don't have time to tell that story, but it's amazing what people will say. They've gone to church all their life, and they just kind of went through this ritual, and they have no peace whatsoever. Why? Because it's just an external thing. They never meet Jesus one-on-one. They never have a personal relationship. It's just this external ceremonial thing they go through, and they, when something like this happens, they just go berserk. Why? Because they never really connected with Jesus in understanding. God gave us a peace through Jesus. Here's the verse that says it. Here's the enemy of peace. It follows as night follows the day. It is linked with righteousness. Peace is, and guess what? Then war is automatically connected to sin. I was talking to a friend of ours early this morning on the way to church, and we were talking about all that's going on, and you know, basically both of us came down to the problem is, you know, the whole reason we have this coronavirus is sin. You do know that, right? All sickness is derived from the first sin, because everything was cursed because man sinned. The world as we know it, from a catastrophe, earthquake, everything was started when sin took place. This is nothing new. This has been going on a long time. Why? It always goes back to sin. Always. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. They don't have peace. Anybody without Jesus, they don't have it. Think not, look what Jesus says. Think not that I've come to send peace to the earth. Wait a minute. He's called the Prince of Peace, and the Old Testament talks about he's the one that brings peace. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. What do you mean? We're supposed to be militant? No, that's not what that means. What is he bring a sword? What does he mean? He's saying, I did not come to bring some sort of false peace, an amalgamation of good and evil. I came with a sword to put a line of demarcation between truth and error, between light and darkness, between sin and righteousness. There's no way to have peace if you do not deal with sin. That's all Jesus said. And how many times did he say this? There'll be a daughter against her mother. There'll be a son against his father. Why? The same reason Paul talked about it. He said, you really don't need light and dark trying to marry each other. What does that mean? You don't need a lost person married to a saved person because you'll always have a division. And Jesus said, I don't intentionally try to cause people to be at odds with one another, but when your whole philosophy is God-centered and the other one is world-centered, it's a war. That's all Jesus is saying. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to show what the difference is. I drew the line. Boy, and he did with the religious groups. When God's standard of righteousness is set, there will always be a division. You know, I don't want anybody to hate me, but when I tell them the truth, they're not going to like it. So what does that cause? What did Jesus do? He said, all you guys are doing all these externals. He said, that's not the way it is. They didn't like this. Why? He was messing with their system. Don't we all have a system? We all have our own little system. And if you ask my opinion and I tell you and you don't like it, it's a miracle if you don't get mad with me. Isn't it right? Isn't it right? That's right. I mean, that's the way we operate. The standard of righteousness is set. There will always be a division. Always. Without righteousness, there can be no godly peace. You know, when you sit down with two groups of people, whether it's a nation or a couple or whatever it is, and you kind of look at it and you say, okay, this is the problem. This is what you're fighting over. This is how God says you can fix it. One may be right or both may be wrong. But if they say, you know, we don't want that, then you can't fix it. So that's the same thing. Without God's righteousness being adhered to, there is never any peace. There will always be turmoil in us individually and in the world we live in. It can never come where sin remains, because God will never make a peace treaty with sin. Never. Peace is not appeasement. Peace is dealing with the truth. How do you acquire peace? Look at, I understand this verse is in the Old Testament, and I understand what was going on. Jeremiah was a prophet. He's been preaching to the nation of Israel, and he says, judgment's coming from the north. And they're thinking, there's nobody from the north that can conquer us. He said, oh, they are. And then Babylon came, and they took him into captivity. And God sends them this promise in captivity. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. God has a plan. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, the Muslims, bless their heart, they don't have a loving God. They have a God that just judges them if they don't do right. You know, bless their heart, they have no peace whatsoever if you operate from this fatalism. He says, God has a plan for us to have peace. Here's how it comes. It's been purchased by the Son, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. How is that? God fixed it. Why? God's here, I'm here. Sin separates us. When Jesus died on the cross, He bridged that gap. Through the blood of Jesus, I can have peace and know that I'm right with God and I'm square with God and He doesn't have anything against me and I'm good. So I can be at peace with myself and I can be at peace with God because of what Jesus did. That's what the verse says. At the cross, wickedness was not appeased. God didn't say, well, now, Terry, you're just a good old boy, and we're not going to make anybody die for you. We're just going to let you off. That's appeasement. No, 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 no. God didn't do that. Wickedness was confronted, and peace was accomplished by the blood of Jesus. It takes payment. And the Spirit reminds us that we do have peace. Look what Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. That's what Jesus said, right? Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You know, how is it when everybody's kind of going crazy, how is it that we should react? We're being smart. We're not being foolish in how we handle this. But, you know, we're not getting overly excited. And someone who comes up and says, how can you be so calm? And you say, well, God's in control. That's what that means. I have a peace that Jesus gave me if I trust Him, and we have a chance to share it with them. That's actually what the last part of this is. Look at this. The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, reminds us. It reminds us and brings to our hearts and minds, Jesus is the one that gives us this peace, and we're at peace with God. You know, if we really think about it and understand that the God of the universe has nothing against me, I don't really have anything to worry about. That's peace. I might lose my house, I might lose my car, I might lose my family, but when all this is over, when the God of the universe accepts me and has a place for me, I got a lot in my favor. That's what that means. But too often we just get so caught up in the world that we forget this aspect of it. The last part of it, we are the agents of peace. What do you mean? Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We've been saved. We've been given peace. And then He says, and because we've been given peace and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When these people look around and say, how can you be so peaceful at this time? And then we're the agent and we say, this is how this happens. Because of what Jesus did, that's how I have peace. So we are the agents of reconciliation and can help share this with other people so that they can have peace. I can't give them the peace. I can just tell them how I got the peace. That's all that is. Do we have peace? If we do not have peace ourselves, you can't be a peacemaker. You know, if you're always worrying about you and God, you'll always be looking for a fight. You'll be that argument waiting to happen. You'll be that fight waiting to happen. All it needs is the circumstances. Isn't that right? That's the way it goes. Corey Ten Boom said this, if you look around you in this world they're in right this moment, you'll be distressed. Are we in distress? We're fighting over toilet paper? Hello? Just go get your Sears and Roebuck catalog. You know, that's what used to be in the outhouses. Some of you old enough to know that? I experienced that, I know. There's a lot of toilet paper in a Sears and Roebuck catalog. Because it used to be about that thick, you know. Some of you saying, I can't believe you're saying this. This is a fact, okay? It's just a fact. Why would you fight over toilet paper? Because there's no peace. Fear, panic, anxiety, perfect example. When you look around at the world, you will be distressed. If you look at only yourself and say, I've got to fix this, then I'll be depressed. She's right. Only when you look to Jesus can you find rest. Boy, she's got it. She was right. And only in that situation can God use us to be peacemakers into a distressed, depressed world. And it's moments just like this that God can use us if we're faithful. First, he has to give us the peace, and then we can be used by him to pass it on. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you love us. Lord, we thank you that you're sovereign. We thank you that you have our name and our zip code and you know everything about us. Father, we just thank you that you have a plan. And if we'll just trust you, we can have peace even though we do not know every little detail of how it's going to unfold. But we know you're going to take care of us. Father, thank you. Thank you. And just remind us in the days ahead, whatever happens and all that goes on, it's after this thing, it's just going to be something else. Father, that we would, if we're not at peace with you, that we would seek somebody, we would read your word, we would get along with you and settle that issue where we could have peace in our heart regardless, and then you could use us to be peacemakers in a world that is distressed so that you can be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.